Do you feel that the Landmarks Commission, that its members are not held accountable?
Right now, they cannot be held accountable by the voters. The Landmarks Commission is appointed by the mayor and therefore not held accountable by the elected, by the constituents. While they do great work, we respect them and we need them, and we hope more people apply for these appointments to be on these commissions. I think that there should be oversight, and there should also be a forum for constituents, neighbors who are affected to be able to voice their concerns and be heard by an open body.
But the way the system works now, there is oversight. The mayor makes appointments and the council approves those appointments. Shouldn't this be more about the council maybe taking a closer look at who they approve and perhaps rejecting certain appointments over others?
Well, and that's one of the things we've gone through as far as we've made appointments this past year, its own committee. But as you are aware, appointments are simply given by the mayor and they're given a yes or no vote. And even if we do approve someone, they may be a fine individual, but most people who are going to be appointed to the Landmarks Commission, a preservationist, are going to have a love and we want that, a love for preservation. And it's sometimes hard to be able to look at all things. While they may have a great skill level and education, which is architecturally significant, on the Metro Council, we have to balance the benefits and the cost to society and to the people. And that's something that we can do on the council. And if it does turn out that something that we believe that the committee or the appointed committee decides that in their belief that it is something that has architectural significance, it can be brought to at the end if we decide to call it up for a vote. Again, it could be read in O business, and I imagine most of the time we would agree with him. But in the event that it is something that hurts or otherwise is a major issue in our community, we can bring it to the Metro Council. We're allowed an open forum for open government. We allow the people to be able to speak in front of everyone. They're allowed to have their elected officials be able to voice their concern, and they can voice their concern themselves, and we can have an open debate.
Under the current ordinance, it takes 200 signatures from residents in Jefferson County, anywhere in Jefferson County, to petition the Landmarks Commission for historic status.
Correct.
The proposed amendment that Councilman Yates has introduced would still require a minimum of 200 signatures. However, at least 51% of those would have to come from either property owners or residents located within a one-mile radius. What is your problem and other preservationist issue with those amendments?
My understanding that Councilman Yates is proposing an amendment to that that would change some of those percentages and the number of people required. But even the proposed change, the proposed revision, is still totally unnecessary. What we have here is a system that's not broken, and there's no reason to make changes to the petition process in a system that's not broken. At this meeting, what came out was that one case, the Colonial Gardens case, is kind of the impetus for this. And then there were the other comments were that the Landmarks Commission is biased and the Landmarks Commission is not geographically representative.
That would seem like that's an issue for Mayor Fisher, however. I mean, he's the person
Absolutely.
Who appoints
well, it's
members of the Landmarks
for Mayor
Commission.
Fisher and the Metro Council, because as you pointed out, they do approve these appointments and they have the power to not approve an appointment.
I applaud Greg Fisher, Mayor Fisher, because since I've been on, his administration's worked with us to try to get some new appointments on there. Now, that takes time, obviously, and it also takes people willing to serve on these boards. And particular boards, that drive certain interest. Obviously, someone who wants to be on the preservation board will most likely have a strong interest in preservation, and obviously they're going to be leaning towards designation of preservation. I know during our meeting yesterday, I asked, from the times that it's gone before the preservation board, what percentage are deemed to be preserved. And I think they thought it was somewhere around 70-something percent that were, even over the objection of the neighbors or whatnot. And that may be the case. That may be necessary. That may be in the best interest of our future of our city. But that should be a decision that should be made by someone who is looking at all issues, not just whether or not something is historically significant.
Councilman Yates says over the objection of neighbors. That just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Again, the Colonial Gardens case, it was a 50-50 proposition. There were a whole group of neighbors who lived near that property who wanted it to be landmarked, and there were a group of neighbors who did not want it to be landmarked. But in 40 years of landmarking in this county, we have only had 70 individual buildings landmarked. That's fewer than two a year. this is not a system that is broken. It's not a system that has run amok. In the last 6 years, there have only been 18 landmarked, and 8 of those were the Whiskey Row buildings, 8 separate buildings. So you really take it down to only 11 landmarking in 6 years. Again, fewer than 2 per year.
If that was true, then I don't understand what the problem with this ordinance amends it requires that at least 101 of those 200 signatures are neighbors, are people within a 1 mile radius of that facility. And that's what's been objected to.
Shouldn't residents who live in a particular area have more of a say-so than someone who lives all the way across on the other side of the county, whether a dilapidated structure should be built, rehabilitated, torn down, or not?
Well, first of all, most of these structures are not dilapidated. The City Hall, the Courthouse, Farmington, those are not dilapidated. Those have been declared local landmarks. That is not the case. In some cases, we are talking about dilapidated structures, trying to prevent their demolition. The Whiskey Row is the perfect example. We had a developer who wanted to tear them down and build a parking lot and then and maybe in the future some new buildings. But it was shown and proven that those buildings can be rehabilitated, and we now have a development group that's in there that's going to rehabilitate them. So there's just differences of opinions.
But getting back to the original question, I guess, shouldn't residents have who live nearby any structure, whether it's considered dilapidated or not, shouldn't they have more say-so than someone who lives on the other side of the county?
They have absolutely full access to the public hearings. All we're talking about, the petition process, all it does is bring it up in front of the Landmarks Commission. It doesn't decide yes or no. It's not a vote.
That appears to still avoid, I guess, the crux of Councilman Yates' point, which is that if you're a property owner, for example, and you live near a building that was once considered or is considered historic by many, why should someone who doesn't even live near that particular building where they don't have lower property values or just the blight of that particular building, why should they have equal say to you when you live next door to it?
Because the standard of landmarking is whether it has historical significance to the city, the state, or the nation. And these are buildings that have historical significance to more than just 20 or 30 people who live near it.
If Councilman Yates's amendments were to pass, would Whiskey Row be torn down?
It would be dust.
It would not. And absolutely not. In fact, it was the Metro Council, and I think there was some misinformation that came on. And a lot of times you see this. Whenever there's a change, people get scared. I know there were some straw man arguments that were brought up and tore down. And remember, this has just started. We brought this up for committee, for discussion. I've opened my office up. And this don't have to be final legislation. In fact, I think that's how good government is made, is that you open it up to your colleagues. But I think whenever we have something like this where there's citizens who are concerned that they're not being heard, and that I look into it, and it's not a process that where there is accountability held, then it brings some concern. And I think when that happens, it's our job as elected officials to step up.